So you had better do what you were told. You better listen to the radio. What if I win?
Good morning, I nearly said good evening then. Welcome to Radio Radio. This is a special one-off with my special guest, Ronan McManus. We'll be speaking to you very, very soon. Bullet in Your Heart, and that was from a little while ago. That was Brand New Zeros, featuring my special guest this morning. I've got with me in the studio, I'm very, very pleased to say, we've made a dash from the 96 5K at Stanley Park. Ronan McManus, good morning, Ronan.
Morning, how you doing? You're right.
I'm all right, yeah. We're both just getting our breath back. We virtually came into the studio just before 11 o'clock. And as I say, we took part in the 96 5K, which was a bit of a run around Stanley Park in memory of all the 96 who died at Hillsborough. And it was a good turnout, wasn't it?
Oh, brilliant turnout. Yeah,
it was good to see all the Reds and Blues all running together there with the different shirts on. And you're a Tranmere fan and a blue yourself.
I am, yeah. I chose the blue colour. Yeah. But yeah, we're all of us. I mean, I'm born in London, but my dad was from Birkenhead, so we all inherited either red or blue.
Right.
And all of us Tranmere. Yeah. So it's that, especially today.
Yeah, it's a big day for Tranmere, and fingers crossed for them. And
yeah.
No doubt you'll be catching that game later.
I will be.
But yeah, it's great to have you here in the studio. This was all done pretty much over the last couple of days. It's an extra show that we're doing, because those who listen in normally know we're on a Monday night and a Thursday night. And thank you very much to yourself for coming into the studio this morning. I know you've got a real busy schedule to fit us in. We're very, very pleased that you're coming to Muggle Radio to do this for us. So these in conversation series, we've done these for a couple of months now, and they've gone down really well. And the idea is to get bands, singers, artists in, just to let the world know really what you're up to at the minute, what you've been doing, and a little bit about your past. So first of all, for the listeners, I mean, I played one of your songs there, and that's actually the very first song I ever heard of yours.
Was it?
Yeah. And it was on one of my first playlists when I came in here. And like I mentioned to you earlier, the first time I saw you play was at the Lantern Club, which sadly is no longer here. It got closed down. It's a great little venue.
It was, yeah. I mean, I know the family, the Noble family that that run it. Danny Noble was there. He was a friend of mine. He was at university down in London, so I got to know him there. Then when he moved back up here, he sort of said, "You've got to come up and do a gig in our theatre." So I've got so much family, mostly on the sort of Wirral side, quite a few friends on Liverpool side. So we actually came up about two or three times to do that, and it was always a great night, you know. It was always a brilliant night. It's kind of a small place. It's great to play, you know?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I saw a couple of bands playing there. I'm pretty sure I saw Henry Priestman and Les Glover playing in there, yourself and a couple of others. And it just, for me, it's always a shame when a venue like that is gone. It's just no longer here. Man.
Yeah.
I used to go to the Lomax quite a lot, which was a great little place.
I played that, yeah. I think that four years ago.
Yeah, I think it's reopened. But it's not the same. It's not the Lomax that it was. And probably the nearest to it now is 81 Renshaw Street, which is a great little venue in the city centre, where most of the local bands tend to go and play now.
Right, yeah.
It's a good place. So for yourself, obviously, you're based down south, and you do all your stuff from down there. So you're up here. Just tell us why you're up here at the minute as well.
Well, I've been sort of friends with Ian Prowse from Pelé in Amsterdam for a number of years now. He's a good friend of my brother's, my brother being Elvis Costello, as people may know. But so I met him backstage one of Declan, Elvis's gigs, and we both had a few drinks on us, and we started to try and outdo each other in naming the most obscure Tranmere player from the Johnny King, the late 80s, early 90s era. So we sort of bonded over that, and we sort of kept in touch over the years. And he just said, I said to him, "Look, you know, have you got any advice about where we could play in Liverpool?" And he goes, "Well, just wanted to get some venues of him, really." And he said, "Well, we're doing a gig in the Buyers Club on the 12th of May. Do you want to come up and do it? It's just a solo slot for half hour, but you're welcome to come up." So that was great. So I came up, and then I decided to come up a day early, see all the family over the Wirral, and I managed to do a gig last night in Our Ladies Club in Birkenhead, which is like my dad's old neighbourhood.
Oh, right. Cool.
And my cousin is now the local Labour councillor there.
Brilliant.
So we did it for a load of charities, local charities, feeding the homeless and feeding the hungry, and the Gorby Road place, which is kind of that's actually where my nana lived on Gorby Road.
Oh, right.
So yeah, it's very sort of close to my heart, the area still, you know. We grew up with lots of stories of Birkenhead from my dad, you know, and so it's nice to, it's always a piece of us,
it's
piece
good
of our
to
heart.
Come back,
it's nice to come up and do something for the local community. So I managed to fit that in last night and saw a load of cousins and friends and stuff. It was great, really good.
Gig went well, yeah. It's good.
The gig was great. It was a really good turnout. I think they made a grand on the
fantastic
night for all the charities, which is fantastic. And it was really good to see all my family and friends and play a few songs. And I got to play a few of my brother's ones and a few of my ones and a few random ones. It was good.
Oh, great. Do you know what? I'm gutted that I couldn't get across there last night. I would have loved to have been there. But I'm so looking forward to tonight, because you know, I mean, I'm a big fan of Ian Prowse, as well as your own music, and it's as soon as he'd announced that you were your support, and I was delighted. I said, "Oh, double bubble!" Yeah, that's great for me.
I did text him when we found out that the playoff date was going to be the clash. So yeah. I said, "Are we moving this gig to Wembley Arena now?"
I know.
But unfortunately, yeah, because
it would have been great.
I met him for a quick drink before last year's final down in Wembley. So we're going to find it in a pub somewhere, and we did contemplate the quick helicopter ride, but. Unfortunately, so
I saw that he put it on Facebook straight away. Has anybody got a helicopter we can hire? Yeah, it would. I mean, it's one of them things where you want to be in two places at once. I mean, I was talking earlier. My brother's a big Echo and the Bunnymen fan, and we're going to see them on Friday, the 25th of May, and of course they've got a gig on the 26th of May, which is in Birmingham. The Champions League night final. So of course, Ian Mac being a big Red, he pulled the gig and. He got absolutely slaughtered on social media for doing that. So lo and behold, they moved the gig back to the original date, and he's being slaughtered again by people who cancelled VIP packages and hotels and transport. So the poor guy can't win.
Yeah, so it's a tough one, that, because
it is,
because he's such a big game, and he's such a big fan.
Yeah.
But some people just
don't
understand.
They
don't get it. No. You know. But no. So you can sort of see their point of view too. But at the same time, I mean, come on.
I know.
I'll give the guy a bit of slack.
Well, you don't get to the Champions League final every year. That's the thing.
Well, if you're an Everton fan, you never get there. So.
Well, yeah, I know. Well, I try not. I mean, I've got a lot of Blues fans and Man United fans, believe it or not, who are friends of mine who listen to the show. And I'm always very careful in what I say. When I've come in here after Liverpool, I've just won a big game. I'm always
down a bit. Out of the five brothers in us, there's two Blues, two Reds, and one doesn't care about football.
Right.
So we're very much divided by. My younger brother, who's just a year older than him, we're really close. And he was growing up, he was Red and I was Blue. And
right,
God, it was
hard work. Well, I've got five brothers, and only one is a Blue out of all of them. And
most of the family are Reds, actually. Most of the extended cousins. Yeah. There's one branch who are Blues. Most of them are all Reds, but so I have to bear the brunt of that.
I know, but yeah, I know.
So as much as I kind of, as a part of me that kind of wants them to do well.
And
I will never hear the end of it if they do.
Right, I've got a question coming for you. Yeah. I've got people who are listening. Ask Ronan what his songwriting process is, please.
Well, it's different really every time. I mean, lyrics tend to come first, and then maybe a concept, like a phrase or something. I'll maybe mishear something of another song or on a radio show or something. I mishear something and as something else, and I thought, well, then a little spark's a little idea, and then that grows from there. So it can be little things like that,
right.
Or it can just be something. I think, well, I really want to something I'm feeling at the time.
Yeah,
you know, maybe a personal thing or something out in the political world that I feel like I want to say something about.
Yeah.
So I've had much mostly lyrical start really, and then I kind of have a melody in my head, and then I kind of try and match the chords to that.
Okay.
Sometimes the guitar idea comes first, and it kind of sparks something there. But it's more often than not, it's the lyrics first. Really.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's different in the process, aren't they? For some,
there's
reason.
No right way of doing it. No. This is it. Someone asked me to do a songwriting. There was for Poetry Week, like a National Poetry Week. One of my friends was a teacher. He said, "Would you come in and do a songwriting workshop?" And I'd sat down to try and work out what I would say. And I was like, the first thing I said was, "There's no right way or wrong way to do it." So I just found a kind of a process that would, like, I could get the kids engaged in doing. But there really isn't any right way or wrong way to do it. Music's so subjective and so personal. As long as as long as you're feeling something in there, as long as it's stirring some sort of emotion, and or at least you're feeling something from it, then there's some depth to it then, you know. And I think that gives it much more
it's
worth.
It's got meaning,
also emotional worth, I think, is really what you get to go for, really.
Yeah. I mean, and your musical background, I mean, obviously we've mentioned your brother's Elvis Costello and your dad as well. I mean, it's in the family, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's in the genes.
Yeah, we all grew up singing in the house. Yeah. My dad was always away, you know, he was still touring and getting away, mostly up north, so he'd be away for an entire weekend. Sometimes 2 weeks if he was up in Scotland.
Yeah.
Sometimes whole summer seasons he was doing Blackpool, you know, he used to go away sometimes. And so he was away a lot of the time, but when he sort of got off the road, we were all kind of hitting our teens, and he really stopped gigging, and then we all started to gain a lot of interest in music then. As in, you know, Declan, Elvis had kind of, because he was from my dad's first marriage.
Yeah.
There's four of us in 5 years from the second, so there's about 20 years gap between Dec and us.
Mm-hmm.
So we, the four of us, growing up in the house together, we just played together all the time, and then we all ended up being a band. We started a band together.
Right.
So it was all four brothers. So, I mean, the Gallaghers, there's only two of them. There was four of us.
Yeah.
There's only two of them in the band. You know, we doubled that. So there was some... certainly straight talking and things like that. But you know, that was, I mean, it was a natural upbringing for us. There's always music, Irish music as well, because of the Irish background.
I was going to say, that comes across in a lot of the songs of yours that I've heard. I mean, I got into your music by listening to the Bible Cold Sunday stuff.
Yeah.
But I've also, your solo stuff and Brand New Zeros, it's all different. But certainly in your last album that come out, for me, it's very Irish influenced, that one.
I think there's a natural kind of storytelling, folk influence, and everything that comes from listening to all those folk records of my dad's from when I was growing up.
And it's all comes through,
isn't it? It's all in there. Then you know, we started off in the Irish scene in London, playing in like round the table Irish trad sessions.
Right.
And but then we always had. I mean, I was also a big sort of Pearl Jam and Nirvana fan when I was 14.
Okay.
And that, so I had that sort of rock set element to me always. Even when we were doing the trad sessions, I was always listening to a lot of rock music. So
when
we came to sort of do our own stuff, because we did a lot of covers gigs for years, just Irish covers gigs. And then when we came to do our own stuff and write our own things, a lot of those influences were just as much influenced by Rolling Stones and Oasis and those sorts of bands at the time, as you were, you know, the Chieftains and Wolf Tones or whatever, you know. So it was very, it was a real mix of the two. And I think it came across, especially in the early part of the Bible Codes, it was really a real mix of those two.
Mm-hmm.
As we've gone on, we've kind of become more, it's gone more down naturally down the sort of rock side. We had a flute player originally in the band who left, and we actually replaced him with electric guitarist, which naturally brought us to a more rock kind of place.
Right.
Before we had three, we had an accordion, fiddle and flute. It was very... a real Irish sound to it.
Yeah.
But when he left and we got the electric guitarist in instead, it kind of naturally shifted a different way, and so we explored more of that. So over the years it's gone a little bit more away from it, but there's still elements of it in there. You can still hear the influence in there and the stories. I mean, I don't write all the songs in the Bible Codes.
Uh-huh.
And Andy and Ender especially come from a much more of an Irish songwriting tradition.
Right,
so you get a lot more of all the songs about the boxers and about especially the Irish American songs that we've got, the themes of those are... they're much more Andy's songs.
And that's where they've come from. Ah, right, because I was going to ask you that about the songwriting. You know, is it just yourself or the rest of the band? So, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And just noticed there as well from The Walk Like Kings, which was out last year.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of guest people on that as well. Well, it jumped on, haven't they?
It was kind of meant to be our last ever album. It wasn't really meant to be an album, to be fair. We'd recorded an album back in 2013, which took us 3 years to make, because there'd been a lot, you know, from when we started it to when we finished it, finally released it. I lost both my parents. I'd had a kid. Andy had had a kid. He'd lost his dad. It was like, there was a lot of personal things
just
got in the way of that. So that took 3 years to do. And we thought, when it came to doing another one, we were like, I can't go through that again. It was such a long road to get that album finally finished and released. We thought we just didn't have the energy to do it again. So we had some recordings that we had. Well, we had an opportunity to write some songs actually for the Johnny Depp movie Black Mass, the one about Whitey Bulger.
Oh yeah.
We got in touch with the guy that was the musical director of that movie and said, are you taking submissions? And he said yes. So we wrote four songs to try and get on the movie. They said they didn't take them, but we thought, we've got these four new songs now, and we've had about two, three songs left over from the last album. So we thought, what we've got to do is write two songs and we've got an album, let's just do it. And it was going to be our final album.
Right.
So I thought, let's just get a guest on it. Let's get as many guests as we can on it and just have some fun. So we had, we managed to get all our sort of friends from the local scene, which is Lorraine O'Reilly, Ellie O'Keefe.
Yes.
Matt McManaman, who's a Scouser. Uh-huh. He used to be in the Dead 60s and he's in the Specials more recently.
Dead 60s, yeah,
he's now living in Ender's home village in Mayo, where his parents are from Mayo. He now lives in Ender's home village. We've got to know him really, really well.
Right.
He's a good lad.
Cool.
A good blue as well.
Yeah.
But, so we asked him, would he sing a song on that? So we had a ska sort of feel. And there's so many different styles on there. We thought this isn't really an album. It doesn't sound like the same band half the time. So we thought, well, let's just have some fun with it. And it is what it is. It was the working title was The Death by Eclectic Chair. That was our working title. We thought it's going to be our final album.
I like it.
So we managed to get a song that I found. There's a song called Willie Evans Volunteers, which is a song, I found a poem written by my dad in the house when we cleared out the house after he died.
Oh, right.
And it was about the Irish soldiers in the First World War, of which his dad was one. And I put music to it. And then, so we thought, well, I asked Dick, Elvis, would he be on it?
Yeah.
And we got all five brothers on it, and actually I found a recording of my dad reading out the telegram, which was sent from the front line when my granddad was wounded. That was sent. We actually have the copy of the telegram that was sent from the front line back to the HQ. And my dad read that out one time for a school project for one of my brothers. And so I had his voice reading this thing out. So
wow.
So we put that on the end of the song. So there's actually my dad's voice on it too.
Wow.
Which is amazing.
That's,
you know,
superb. That's our personal.
So
that's
we've
brilliant.
So we've got all five brothers and a song co-written with my dad posthumously, and then his voice at the end. We thought, well, that's
wow.
So that was kind of the start of the collaborations. Really, that was the first one. We thought, well, let's try and get some other people on it. We managed to get Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe's on it. Yeah,
yeah. We met him through Deck at one of his gigs. And
yeah.
We kept in touch because we had a song called Cinderella Man before we even met him. With a song called Cinderella Man about Jim Braddock the boxer, and he played Jim Braddock in the movie.
Of course, yeah.
Somebody
had
cut together his scenes from his movie with our song, and he had retweeted it. This is like years previous.
Right.
So he knew about us, so we sort of kept in touch, and we asked us outright, and he went, yeah, okay, sound. So we kind of ended up with lots of guests in the end,
it's good. It's come across really well. I mean, if you know, if that was going to be your last album, that, you know, was that band, then yeah,
it was kind of meant to be the final farewell.
Yeah.
And then actually, we released it in October, and actually, our drummer died in November, but tragically.
Yeah.
So it kind of we didn't really do much to promote it because we kind of it's kind of there, and we didn't know what to do really. We sort of kind of took some time off from anything, just doing our gigs around town really, didn't really do anything with our own stuff.
No.
And then a new guy joined in the new year, and it's just been a different band, so it didn't feel right to promote the old album. So
No. We're
back in the studio again now doing new stuff.
Okay.
And we're going to be doing it under a different band name because it's a different band now really.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Don't realise how much of a part of a band a drummer is a real heart of the band, really.
Know,
you know, and
know. He was a bit of a character as well, wasn't he?
Well, he was, yeah.
Because I remember when we saw you playing, and I remember my mate Nick, who went to see where this, look at the drummer, like, because he had this bit of a mad stare on him as he's playing. I thought, wow,
his eyebrows used to go up and down all the time.
He
sort of looked like Uncle Fester.
He did,
bald head, and he was a bit older than the rest of us. He played in Bad Manners, and sort of the running joke is that he played with everybody.
Yeah.
When he got married, I did a song for him to the little drummer boy, and the running joke through the whole thing was that he'd played with everyone from the Beatles to Jesus Christ, you know. So it was a kind of the running joke. He played with loads of people over the years, he's always gigged and never said no to a gig. Also, first man to say yes, and he'd gig. You know, if there was an eighth day in a week, he'd be gigging on it, you know, twice.
Oh.
So, absolutely amazing guy, really genuine, lovely fellow, really real gentleman. He was known as the gentleman, you know.
Oh.
And it was a real tragic loss.
Of course.
He was like, he's in our band for 12 years, you know, we were like brothers, we're spending every day together. So,
it's a big
thing. So everything sort of feels different now. We've got a new drummer in, and we're moving on, and he would want us to. And we gigged the next day after he died because it was a charity gig.
I saw that on Facebook.
It was for an air ambulance, and we thought, let's just go and do it because Carlton would want us to do it. And it's a charity gig.
Yeah.
We can't let him down. And when is going to be the right time to go back? What's the appropriate time to go back and play? There's not going to be a right time. It could get harder if anything. So let's just carry on. And thankfully, our guitarist also plays drums, so we were able just to keep it in house.
Oh, that's good.
Get things
that's
done.
Good.
But it's been a sort of weird sort of 6 months or so, really. And we've kind of come out of it with actually a new drive, and we're sort of writing new stuff and writing differently because a new drummer is making us all play differently.
Okay.
Because a drummer changes the sound, you know. And I gave up alcohol in October, a month before he died. So that my head clearing and everything has kind of changed the way I write more energetically now than ever did. So the stuff's got a bit more of a Clash kind of jam, kind of almost like dare I say it, early Elvis Costello sort of feel to it. That sort of era, that kind of like post-punk kind of thing going on. So
good stuff.
Another
question I got, which came in as well, is have you ever written anything with your brother?
No, actually, no, I haven't. I've gigged with him a few times. I've had the opportunity to get on the stage with him a few times. I did actually call him last year and say, look, you know, if, do you have, because he just doesn't stop, you know,
no,
to
I
try
know.
And get him in one place for a week. I said, look, if you've got a week off or anything, or a couple of weeks, even a couple of days, you know, do you fancy getting around the table and just
do something?
I would hate to think that. My brother was, you know, he's one of the greatest songwriters we ever produced,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I feel like to have never sat around the table and tried something. But his point back to me was, one, he was really busy and loads of stuff going on. And two, you know, because of the age gap and things like that, he said I wasn't sure what we would write about together, what you know. But, you know, yeah. I think we would find something. I think there would be, you know, with you know, dad and everything.
It would be
you know,
good.
It would be nice. I'd like to do it at some point, but he's just sort of saying, he doesn't ever do anything gratuitously. Everything
no.
has to have a meaning to it.
Yeah.
Even this would have to be, there'd have to be a point to it.
Yeah.
And I kind of respect that about him. He doesn't just do, cameos on records.
No off-the-cuff stuff, yeah.
No, everything means something. So if he does do something, it's special, you know. Right. And I thought, well, fair enough. If he's going to take time out of his sort of busy schedule, then it has to be for something. Right, and like the song we had, the Willie Evans Volunteers song on the last album,
yeah.
that was something that he really wanted to be
he
part
wanted
of
to do, yeah.
and it was an important thing. And that's the kind of guy he is. He's everything yeah. has to be important to him, and he wouldn't just do it just for me because
no.
it's not really, and it's not good enough. Doesn't really do me any favors necessarily, you know. Him just being there, not really wanting to be there, he has
no,
to be there 100%. So I'm hoping one day it will happen.
Oh, fingers crossed.
So,
fingers
yeah.
crossed. And of course, he's based over in the States now.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's more difficult. But, you definitely have to tie him down to that.
When he does stand still for 5 minutes, he's a 7-hour flight away, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, well, I hope at some point that comes off, fingers crossed. I would look forward to that. So, anyway, if you'd like to play us a song, that would be fabulous.
Yeah, I'll... well, since we've been talking about the new stuff, I'm going to write a new song. I'm going to sing a new song, which I wrote just the other week. So yeah, this is called Blood and Rain.
Okay.
People overworking just to pay the rent, keep their head above the water, backs are broken, bent. They live like rats in cages and never make a sound, and we never see their faces till they're burning to the ground. I'm sick of life in your town, where the dreams go down the drain, where the sun can't shine for darkness, and the angels fall like rain. Where the rich look after rich men, with the poor always to blame. So we're tearing down your empire that was built on blood and rain. No more we'll give our blessing to your twisted point of view. No more we're taking lessons from the likes of you. No more will there be sorrow, no ignorance or hate. We're dreaming of tomorrow, we dream of better days. When I dreamt I saw them laughing, and I dreamt there was no pain, but they shot a man for dreaming. Imagine what he'd say when everyone is equal, every life is worth the same. So we're tearing down your empire that was built on blood and rain. So it's tearing down your empire that was built on blood and rain.
Thank you very much. That was Rona McManus playing live on Muggle Radio this morning, and the song was called Blood and Rain.
Blood and Rain.
Yeah.
So we'll be on the new album. We're going to be doing it under the band name Honor Among Thieves.
Okay.
So that'll be out soon.
Okay, so that's Honor Among Thieves. So where are you going to be recording that? I take it you.
It's been recorded down in London, yeah. Okay. We're about 75% of the way there now with it, I think. It's not long to go now.
That's cool. So, I mean, once that's out, I mean, gig-wise, obviously, you'll be doing your stuff local down there.
We'll be coming up. Yeah, we're going to be coming up to do some stuff around. I mean, it's always great coming up here. I've got so many connections up here. It's a natural place to once we leave London. It's the natural next stop, really. You know?
It draws you up here, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's like a magnet.
We do a lot of stuff in Glasgow because we've got big connections with Celtic up there.
Okay.
So we do a lot of stuff up there as well. So it works out perfectly to do. Hopefully we get around and do Manchester as well and
great.
A few different places. So we are going to bring this on the road, definitely.
Oh, well, that's much more so something than to before, look forward yeah. to. Yeah, yeah. Certainly. Because I mean, I've only seen you play him once. I said that was at the Lantern. Other than that, you know, just listening to your stuff. And I've played quite a few of your songs here on the station, which always go down well, so it would be great to see.
Well, the Honor Among Thieves thing is kind of an amalgamation of all the bands. We've basically consolidated all the bands into one easy lineup.
Yeah.
So it's going to be the Brand New Zeros, Bible Codes, and my solo stuff is all kind of been. We're doing it under one umbrella now.
Perfect.
So we're a seven-piece band now. So
wow.
We're obviously not in it for the money.
No. Do you know what? There's no money in it anymore.
That's
is
true.
It? That's the thing. Unless you got a multi-mega deal with a big company, even then, a lot of people have been ripped off over the years, haven't they?
Absolutely.
I think if you've made money out of the business, you're very lucky.
Yeah.
It tends to be a labour of love for most people.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, that's one of the things I was going to ask you about. I mean, the song that I opened with today was Brand New Zeros, and I just had this, once I started to listen to music, I had all this stuff fired at me, and I'm thinking, hang on, is it Brand New Zeros? Is it Bible Code Sundays? Is it Rona McManus? So was Bible Code Sundays, was that an offshoot of Brand New Zeros? Or
no,
the
other way around, yeah. Codes was kind of, we had a band, the Irish band we started with was called Slauncher, and that was me and my brothers, and Andy, he's still the accordion player in Bible Codes now. There was the five of us, four brothers and Andy.
Okay.
And then when brothers all left one by one, and then that's when we decided to do our own thing with our own music. We decided to change the name of it, and for some reason we didn't see the connection with Bible Code Sundays, that people might think that we were some sort of mad Christian rock band, but we get all these kind of weird friend requests from all these fundamentalists in America,
really?
And stuff, these old Westboro Baptist Church types who wonder why we're not singing about Jesus, you know,
right.
There's never really a problem. The name was never a problem, but
recently,
you know, religious tension in the world has got so heightened that we're finding it's more and more an issue, the name. So we just, because we're not, you know, especially religious, it didn't come from religion, the name.
Yeah.
It came from drinking sessions, to be honest, but
and
conspiracy theories, but the name change. But yeah, but then so we had Bible Codes going for since 2006 or something, the first album was out, and then I met Luke. He's my local barber, to be fair, is what he is.
Okay.
And a mutual friend said, "Why didn't you two do some writing together?" Because Luke had just been in a band, and the guy just left, and he was kind of left doing nothing, wanted to play. So he's much more of a bluesy bass guitarist. So I really enjoyed writing with him, because we used to write in his barber shop after hours when it closed, and it's led me to be qualified as a barber.
That's
now.
Cool.
I'm now qualified barber.
I thought so. I thought. Hang on, what's it? Everyone's got to have another job. I mean, you know, but brilliant.
Yeah. Plan B.
So
it unlocked a kind of bluesy side, which I'd never had a chance to do before. So it became a sort of side project, and then two of the lads from the Bible Codes joined that, the drummer and the bass player, Carlton and Ender. They both joined that, so it was sort of, there was a lot of similarities in the lineup, but the music was totally different.
But it was different.
Completely different, and we were kind of unlocking that. Although it was mostly acoustic guitars, we're kind of unlocking that sort of love for bluesy, sort of grungy rock type stuff that we loved. We all loved it when we were younger.
Yeah.
We were kind of unlocking our childhood first love, really, you know, so it was kind of exciting in that way.
Cool.
We did a tour around Ireland, and then myself and Luke got the offer to do a little tour with Deck to fill in when Larkin Poe couldn't make it, the two girls from America.
Yeah.
So we ended up doing about six or so of the of those gigs. Oh. Unfortunately, we didn't get the Liverpool date. That was the one that he recorded.
Yeah, we was there. I was at that one as well.
We didn't get that one, unfortunately. That was the one we wanted.
What a shame.
But we got like Southend and Brighton and Oxford and Birmingham and.
That's good.
It was good. It was good, really good. And so we got to play myself. Just it was just myself and Luke. So it was just two of us because he was solo. He said you can either do it solo or just do it with one other person. So yeah. It was nice to play the stuff. To a bigger audience, and that was nice. Mm. So I've always kind of had these different things going on in my head, and the Bible Codes, I couldn't really, it didn't, some of the songs I was writing didn't suit it, so that's when I had my solo, more acoustic and kind of solo stuff, and
yeah,
we actually started a Brand New Zeros album with Carlton.
Oh, nice.
Before he died, it was we got about five or six songs done with him. So the Honor Among Thieves album, that was going to be the Brand New Zeros album.
Right.
We've now took those songs and made it part of this to kickstart the new project, the Honor Among Thieves. So half the album's going to be Carlton playing drums and half the album's going to be Joe. So we just felt like there was too much stuff going on. And
yeah.
And I think it was kind of partly due to, you know, the way I think when I was drinking, and I wasn't terrible drunk. Mm-hmm. I found my focus wasn't there. I was flitting around all the time. And now I kind of, my head's cleared and much more, I kind of know what I want to do now. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to put everything under one. Everything was kind of going towards the same direction. So let's just put it all under the name. But I enjoyed the different things.
Okay.
It was good to do different things, but it feels like it's the right time to put it all in one thing now.
Oh, that's good. I mean, it sounds like it's a really exciting project. It's something that I'm looking forward to, certainly. And make sure that I get a copy of that when
absolutely,
it comes out.
Absolutely, no worries.
It'll be getting played on here, I can tell you for now.
Brilliant, fantastic.
So just going back to your solo stuff a little bit, I mean, a few of the yours I've been playing here in the system. Own 2 Feet is one.
Yeah.
I like playing an awful lot.
Yeah, well, that was an album I wrote with my little brother Rory. Because
okay.
We were in a band together for years. We used to do a duo around Twickenham when we lived in Twickenham.
Right.
And it was like the classic, we just didn't want to work with like Noel and Liam Gallagher, you know. We argued all the time. We decided it wasn't a good idea to work together, and the few times that we did get back together for little family dues and stuff, we just argued within 5 minutes of being on stage. So we kind of took a big break from that, and then when we lost mum and dad, we decided that we should have an outlet for this. Mm. So we decided let's write an album together. We're both older now, you know. It'd been a number of years since we'd done anything together, so let's could be quite cathartic for us to do something together.
Together, yeah.
And so we wrote the most depressing songs you've ever heard in your life. He's actually calling me just now on my phone. All the time. His ears must be burning. so we got the opportunity to go to Brazil for the World Cup. A friend of mine lives out there.
Oh, cool.
And it's actually mostly Scousers. Daniel Hunt from Ladytron was out there. He was organising the music. So he got like Dave McCabe from Zootons.
Oh,
and,
cool.
It was good. Got a few other lads out there. So most of them are Scousers actually then. But the
Brilliant.
Guy that was my friend was out there said, right, okay, I get one pick. So he asked me where to go. So so me and Rory went out there. So we thought, we can't go to the World Cup with these depressing songs. So we decided to write some happy, upbeat songs. And so we ended up with these. We wanted to make it a bit kind of old style sounding. So we were going for more of a Joe Jackson kind of sound, almost like Elvis Costello kind of sound, but really kind of came out, because we're using a 12-string record, but it came out quite Birds, almost like Beatles-y, because of the harmony. Me and him all sang harmonies together, you know.
Oh, right.
So it was going to be a dual vocal thing. So we sing together through the whole album. We actually recorded around the same mic together, sang together at the same
time.
So it was a really kind of nice thing to do.
That's cool.
The songs are all co-written, and we actually got a single mic stand with two microphones off it.
Wow.
So visually, it was the same. So it was all Brilliant. Almost like the Everly Brothers kind of thing, you know.
That's cool.
But so we actually got a chance to go to the World Cup for a couple of weeks in Brazil, which was brilliant.
Yeah.
So that's why we ended up with the Elephant in the Room album. Elephant in the Room being the our past that we're just not discussing, so we not addressing it, you know. So this was kind of us addressing that elephant in the room, that we us not getting on. So that's kind of where that all came from. So we ended up with this album that I'm still really proud of. I still love the song.
I love the songs, and
most of them are about our teens or our 20s.
It's a very personal album, then, isn't it?
And there's a couple of Spider-Man and Danger Mouse, but when we were all little kids, and you know, that was, he had the Danger Man pajamas, I had Spider Man pajamas. So we were, but we were just, we were like twins, really, the two of us. Like, we were so close when we were growing up. Brilliant. And, you know, we got to a place now where we can look back and recognize all the positives, because for a while we got hit, like, say, like our late 20s and early 30s, we just had to take a break from each other. It was too much, but we lived in each other's pockets.
That's families for you, though, isn't it?
That is.
That's how it goes. I'd absolutely love it if you could play another song for us. It would be good,
yeah,
if you could. Is
okay,
that all right?
Lovely. Yeah, I'll do. I do a song which I actually wrote with my dad.
All right.
For the Bible Code Sunday's album, New Hazardous Design. It was a song that I actually went over. I wanted to write a song about the sort of World War II Birkenhead era that my dad's house was bombed on Cathcart Street.
Okay.
And I wanted to write a song about, because he used to always tell stories about all the characters and stuff, you know. So I just went over there to get a few names out of him, because he wasn't well at the time. Just get some names, and I was going to write the song away. We ended up writing the song in about 2 hours, the two of us.
Right.
So this is about, it's called, song's called Trumpet to Jericho.
Okay.
Trumpets of Jericho keep raining down on Cathcart Street, and the walls of terraced houses keep crashing down around our feet. We didn't want to send our children to foreign lands to fight a war. Then I seen young Billy Kavanaugh lying dead outside my door. They're bringing in conscription boys, the writing's on the wall, and all those black-haired Irish boys answering the call. Need I be for king and country, but we'll make them taste defeat. 'Cause the trumpets of Jericho came raining down on Cathcart Street. They gave our kid a rifle, Joseph Patrick McAteer. A welterweight, just 5'8", and only 18 years. McLaughlin and McQuiggan, your fly boots said it to his best. And the orange boys of Conway Street, they were taken with the rest. It may not be for king and country, but we'll make them taste defeat. 'Cause the trumpets of Jericho came raining down on Cathcart Street. Johnny Mahoney dug the Mercy Tunnel on his own. He was out there digging trenches, but he never made it home. Johnny, boy, where are you now? Sometimes I swear I hear your voice ringing around those narrow streets. I wish they'd given you a choice. So you see, it's not your country, not your king and all his men. They'll put you on the front line, boys, when they send for you again. Yeah, they'll put you on the front line, boys, when they send for you again. And again. And again.
That's absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much indeed, Ronan.
No problem.
What a song. Pleasure. That was very, very good. And it's pretty cool that that was written with your dad. You know, that's...
Yeah, I mean, there was always these stories. He had these, you know, everyone had a tagline, you know, Johnny, big, bold Johnny Mahoney who dug the Mersey Tunnel on his own.
Yeah.
You know, all these, like, there was all these kind of characters that dad talked about, and I wanted to put them all into a song, you know, and... Oh, they're all real people. Apart from the McAteer, he's based on the McAteer family, but there was no actual Joseph Patrick McAteer. Right. All the rest of the guys all the rest of the names are real people that existed. But whether there's been a bit of folklore attached to them or not is that was my dad's lookout, really. You know,
poetic license.
Absolutely,
good, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I love anything like that. Anything that's connecting, it's real and it's you know, it's got a background to it.
And my dad really felt like the lads went to war because they bombed our chippy kind of thing more so than King and Country. But whether that was my dad's wishful thinking, that's the way he was feeling.
Yeah,
whether that was true or not, I don't know. But certainly that's the feeling he had around the time that and my nana said, oh, you know, she said, oh, look at all those black-haired Irish boys, you know. And you know, being sent off to war, and it was I don't know, they're very much green tinted spectacles, I think. And you know, but yeah, it was real nice to kind of get that song written with my dad. And he was not well at the time, and he came out of himself for those 2 hours, whereas before that he was... The Parkinson's had kind of taken. He had a kind of Parkinson's type of thing, which kind of had really meant he was kind of expressionless for most of the time, sitting on the sofa. Oh. And then he kind of just woke up and was his old self for a couple of hours, which was just amazing to see, and a real treat to have that, have him back, like his old self, even if it was just for a couple of hours, you know.
Wow. Life's so fragile, isn't it?
It really is, yeah.
We live each day as they always say, don't you? And make the most of life while you can.
Absolutely.
But it's been an absolute pleasure having you here in the studio. I'm delighted that you come along to Muggle Radio.
Oh.
And I look forward to tonight's gig. I will. And it's a good lineup tonight. I mean, say Pele obviously headlining, yourself, and the band who were on before you. Don't know how long they're playing, but I've seen them at Prowsey's Monty Club, and they're good. They've got a song which I can't play on the radio, which you probably know, or you may have heard of it, called Where's Me Sausage? It's a tale about going to Chippy and coming home and finding that what you've ordered you haven't got, and the guy goes back and has a rant. It's brilliant, but it could never be played. Well, I could play it on here, but it'd be my last song I'd ever play, I would think. But yeah, looking forward to tonight.
So hopefully we'll be celebrating a Tranmere win.
Well, yeah, we look forward to tonight. I'll no doubt meet up with you tonight and congratulate you on Tranmere.
You'll see in our faces in every day, even if you don't see the result.
I certainly will. So I'm going to finish off now anyway. So thank you very much for coming on. I'll play a couple of songs to finish off with. And good luck for tonight, and good luck with the album. And thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Cheers, Ronan.
Cheers, now.
This is Muggle Radio.
Shame. I swore I would be
That was Running From Our Shadows from the Bible Code Sundays, featuring, of course, Ronan McManus. He was my special guest today here on Muggle Radio. And I hope you enjoyed that session as much as I did. It was absolutely brilliant. What a guy that was. He's now left the building because he's legging it to watch the Tranmere game this afternoon with Ian Prowse, and then on to play tonight at the Buyers Club in Liverpool, which is a sold-out gig, I believe, and one that I look forward to very much. But, yeah, what a background the fella's got. Obviously, his dad, Ross McManus, was into the big band stuff, and as he mentioned, you know, used to tour all the time, and growing up as a family, having Elvis Costello as your big brother, I'm sure, you know, it was obvious that music was going to run within the family, and it would be brilliant if he could actually get his wish and to write something with his brother and to perform that. How good would that be?
McGull Radio.
So we're going to finish off the show now with the last couple of songs from the Bible Code Sundays. Here's the next one for you. Nothing I Can Do from the Bible Code Sundays, and we're going to finish off with this one, which is called Night Crossing. Thanks to everyone who's listened in today to our special with Ronan McManus. I'll see you all soon.
There's no silver on these clouds, and the thunder of us so loud. Time to go, my little refugee. Hold tightly, won't you, for me. Dead feet clear. Cry, there's a place up there by the shore where our tears won't fall anymore, anymore, anymore. Help me, please, can't you hear my cries? I wanna stay with you for one more day. You see the sunrise over the promised land, but your head keeps slipping away, away, away.
don't think this body can last. I can't see you out there on your own. Have to break waves, carry you home, all alone. Help me, please, can't you hear my cries? I wanna stay with you for one more day. We see the sunrise over the promised land, but your head keeps slipping away. Help me, please, won't you hear my cries? Oh,